Welcome back. You're watching Yahoo Finance Live. We're going to get a check now on what's been happening with Treasury yields. Right now, we're seeing that the 10-year is in the green, and so is the 30-year. That's up almost 2% for the 10-year, and for the 30-year yield, we're seeing it up. It's up about 2.3%. Let's also check in on the VIX, checking in that volatility index. That's in the red today. It's under that mark of 30. So we'll see how that pairs in terms of the volatility that we're seeing, uncertainty still with the Ukraine-Russia crisis, and where it goes from there.
In a week of international conflict as Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine, prompting sanctions from the U.S. and member nations of the EU, there have now been calls for negotiation as China's President Xi and the reports that Russia is now open to talks with Ukraine. Joining us now with more, we've got Leland Miller, CEO for China Beige Book. And Leland, perhaps we start off with even the point of negotiations now after the invasion has already been carried out.
Oh, there's no point whatsoever. These are talking points, you know, by Beijing with the sole purpose of smoothing out the various contradictions in their position. You know, on the one hand, they're backing Moscow. They've made no qualms about that. On the other hand, this doesn't sit very neatly with their professed positions of past years, which is non-interference in sovereign states and other things. So really right now, you're just trying to see a diplomatic dance. China supports Russia right now and Russia's resolution, and they're not going to do anything to impede that.
So we had a guest earlier who mentioned the possibility and the relationship, quite frankly, of what Russia to China actually means to Taiwan as well later on. What should we extrapolate from the political posturing between Russia and China, this relationship amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and what that potentially means for Taiwan?
Yeah, it's tricky because it doesn't mean much for Taiwan. The way the U.S. government handles its support or lack of support for Ukraine should not be used to draw comparisons to what U.S. support would be for Taiwan in the case of a Chinese invasion. The problem with that is, of course, we have people watching. Xi Jinping is watching. Other countries are watching. And so there is a possibility that they are viewing what's happening with the West support of Ukraine and the United States position on Ukraine as being relevant to the Taiwan comparison. So, you know, if everyone had perfect information, we'd understand that these are not comparable things. But we don't know who's in Xi's ear whispering what. They could be empowered by this. They could see the lack of a stronger sanctions policy as being a real issue here. So. It's a tricky situation.
What type of partnership and in the form of purchases, quite frankly, from China to help Russia circumvent sanctions do you believe is in place? And to what extent will that actually help Russia stomach some of the blow that they are seeing from sanctions from the U.S., other EU member nations, and other countries around the world as well?
All right. Well, this is another question that we have to watch play out, because all sanctions aren't the same. You know, on the one hand, China's made it very clear they don't believe in unilateral sanctions. They bought oil from Iran, even though it was sanctioned for years, evaded sanctions for years on North Korea and others. But at the same time, there are stronger sanctions the United States and the West and Asia allies as well have threatened on the tech sector, which could become a real problem for Chinese companies through something called the Foreign Direct Product Rule. So you could see a very mixed policy where Chinese companies are evading sanctions in terms of buying agriculture, some other things, but they are adhering to sanctions on tech sector components because they don't want to threaten their own companies being sanctioned down the line. But we don't know what the position is going to be right now. It's going to likely be different depending on which sanctions and which ones they take seriously and which ones they don't.
What do you make of China saying that the U.S. is creating fear and panic over the invasion, the Russian invasion of Ukraine?
Well, it's obviously nonsense. You know, this is part of the diplo speak that's used to deal with the contradictions in China's own position. So, you know, most of the statements that are being used for public digestion or for a domestic audience, it helps China to talk this way to domestic Chinese. You know, similarly, every other country is presenting the case to their own people. So, you know, very little of what China has said or has done is meaningful. We have to watch what its actions are, and its actions right now are supporting Russia.
I guess the other consideration here is that you have a pact that's been apparent between two of the world's most prominent cybersecurity threats, and the malicious actors that have emerged from both of those regions in China and in Russia, quite frankly, putting the rest of the world on notice here.
Well, look, I'm not sure I buy into the long-term ties between this, you know, the supposed security alliance or pact. But it's certainly in the short term, you know, you've got a situation where China's supporting Russia, and Russia's in a very difficult position. So, yes, they're powerful cyber offensive nations. So is the United States. So are some of its allies. So I think that there is an uncomfortable element to this, in that there isn't real precedent for what degree the United States will turn on cyber attacks or respond to Russian cyber attacks on its allies. This is relatively new ground. And so, again, this is something that I think we'll have to see the degree and the intensity of the attacks before the U.S. has at least a public position on how it's going to respond.
And at what point do you expect there to be more conversation, more dialogue, diplomatic conversation between the U.S. and both China and Russia as well?
Well, it's not clear what could be said right now. Russia wants to subjugate Ukraine and you know, presumably decapitate its leadership. And so I don't think Putin wants to engage in anything until he's accomplished some of its goals. At some point, they're going to have to reengage. At some point, China's going to want to reengage, because what we're forgetting right now is the U.S. also has to have a China policy. Right now, it does not have a China policy. And so in the coming months, there is going to have to be an announcement by the Biden administration, if not weeks. You know, what is the follow-up to phase one? What is the follow-up on the trade side? What is the follow-up on the geopolitical side? How does the United States view the relationship with China? Nothing has been done. Previous to this, the administration was working on a handful of options. The question is whether the United States pressuring Beijing to adhere to sanctions has now put some of this back, because the Biden administration may not want to pressure China as much. They have been extraordinarily cautious about any pressure whatsoever put on Beijing. Will they not want to do, for instance, a 301 investigation, or will they narrow a 301 investigation because they don't want to put additional stress on Beijing when it's asking them to adhere to foreign direct product rule, sanctioning restrictions, et cetera?
Right. Even thinking back to 2020, the first kind of iteration of some of the partnership that was going to be unveiled on the trade front and hopefully resolve some of that trade dispute between the U.S. and China, still much of that, to your point, yet to be resolved at this point in time, and even the initial phases to be followed up on. Leland Miller, China Beige Book CEO, joining us here today. Leland, appreciate the time.